is the leader of the Nasty Nation, a.k.a. that man, Nasty Leroy himself, the mayor of Pound Town, the highest in the game. And you listen. Wait. Listen. You're listening to Fight Guys, and that's Nasty Leroy approved. Now listen to the podcast, or don't be a rat bastard.
Try to contain it, okay? Mm. I know it's funny.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
The greatest heavy metal band in the world, Steel Panthers.
Did you get that? That was my sigh. I was sighing.
Wow. And you are going to find a rusty nail, and you're going to slit your wrist, and you're going to kill yourself. That's where you're going, Jack. You need to lighten up.
This is Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah.
When he's driving, and you cut him off at an intersection.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Yeah, do some shrooms or something.
Have you ever seen The Attitude Adjustment? That's a move.
I'm scared because I was actually talking about the voices that I hear in my head, and I now realize we were talking about Randy Orton.
I remember when Chris Benoit killed his family and then hung himself from the weight machine. Let's do that in a match at WrestleMania.
I'm Jack Peterson, I'm Ajax, I'm Mr. Clean, I'm Corona Guy, I'm Sex Pack, I'm the man of a thousand strongly worded wrestling opinions, and I'm joined, again, unfortunately, by the man across the internet.
I'm Phil X, I'm too sweet, I'm Prince Havoc, I'm not Jack Steele, but I'm Mr. Predictions. And Jack, we are in store for the greatest pay-per-view of all time, Extreme Rules Horror Show.
I don't think I've ever been more excited in my life for a pay-per-view that I am almost certain will be terrible, but I am so excited for it. We're going to pick Extreme Rules later in the episode. We're going to talk about New Japan's Dominion show that happened, the New Japan Cup Finals as well that happened last weekend. We have a lot to talk about. Rey Mysterio, apparently he sucks. Didn't know. But, you know, before that, you can follow us everywhere. Every social media, every podcast account, every podcast, website you can find, every app. We're on every single podcast platform. You can follow us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Google Podcasts. You can find us on iHeartRadio, on Breaker, Overcast, Stitcher, and all the rest. Now, not only can you follow us there, but you can leave us a review. If you're on iTunes, those are our favorites. You can leave us a 5-star review. You can leave us that rating, that 5-star rating that comes with the review. Okay, switch those words around, you know how it is. And if you do not have iTunes, you can simply go to podchaser.com and do the exact same thing. You can follow us on Instagram at Fight Geist Wrestling. You can follow us on Twitter at Fight Geist Pod. You can subscribe on YouTube, Fight Geist, the Alternative Wrestling Podcast. And we are the Alternative Wrestling Podcast today more than ever. Because a pay-per-view happened this past weekend. It was by New Japan. They made this thing. And I don't know, what'd you think about it? Because there were some controversial stories coming out of this Dominion.
I thought it was great. I mean, I liked it. It was just, a lot of it got spoiled for me, and that really sucks when that happened. I had to unfollow a lot of people on Instagram, because for some reason, people just want to post it at 4 in the morning when other people are asleep.
100% true. I think people don't realize that nobody actually watches New Japan live except for our good friend Sebi, who we know stays up all night to catch New Japan shows, no matter how boring and shitty they are. But Dominion happened. Naito has lost his double championships to his best buddy, Evil, who has finally lived up to his name and actually turned evil. It's about time, let me just say. It was kind of foreshadowing for like the last several years, but it's happened. And yeah, so Evil turned on Naito. He defeated him for the double titles. He defeated Okada to win the New Japan Cup tournament. And not only that, but he brought in Dick Togo. You remember this guy?
Dick Togo.
Yeah. Huh. Or they called him Dicko on commentary. I think it's a might have been a Japanese accent thing, but I like that even better.
Dicko.
Dick Togo from WWF. He was part of Kayentai, the notorious group that chopped off Val Venus's dick. And he's a pretty cool wrestler, so I'm excited to see what they do with this guy. But do you think Evil's really a champion? Does he feel like a double champion to you?
He does. He does. I told you. I said all of this. No, I didn't say he was going to win the titles. But I said he was going to beat Okada. And they kind of took it a little too far. I think they heard what I was saying, and they were like, you know what? I like what this kid's saying. We're going to make Evil a champion. And now I kind of regret my words.
Yeah, I'm sure
I think
exactly.
I'm the reason why Evil was booked to be champion. I'm convinced.
Not the first time Evil's been associated with you. Not the last. But Evil... Evil is champion. It's not something either of us thought would happen. We both had picked Naito. We both picked different people in the New Japan Cup. You did say Evil was going to win. We didn't bet a point on that. Yeah. We could have, and I offered it, and I'm glad that we didn't now at this point, because I would have lost another point. But what we did bet points on was Dominion, the major title matches that happened. Specifically that Naito one, which we both got wrong, as well as the tag team titles, where Tanahashi and Ibushi somehow lost to your boys from Suzuki-gun, so that gives you a point. But Shingo Takagi did defeat Sho, and that gives me a point. So yeah, it all evens up. We each got a point from Dominion, which makes that prediction game a tie. And the current score is 34-30 in favor of you. And, you know, same point margin, 4 points apart. And Extreme Rules this Sunday could change that.
It could. Oh, I'm so ready. I'm so ready. Oh, my God. I can't believe Rey Mysterio is going to be blind anymore. You think he could still wrestle while being blind?
You're that confident about this result?
Yeah.
Really? Well, we'll get to that. Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio, eye for an eye match, which we got to talk about because this is the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard, but I love it. I think I love it. I'm conflicted. I don't really know.
I love it,
but
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's interesting about it. But we'll get to that. In fact, I have that listed last here. I want to talk about that last with these matches. First, there's a lot of other matches. I don't know. This card, there's certain points in this card that really stick out to me as it could be very cool. Certain points that stick out to me as this could be kind of bad. But
really,
all in all, I feel like it could be a good pay-per-view. It could be really like one of those real cheesy pay-per-views that's memorable, but not necessarily in a good way. I think that's probably
which I love.
The way we're going. They're calling it the horror show at Extreme Rules, and there's a few reasons for that. There's, of course, the Swamp Fight match. There's, of course, the Eye for an Eye match. And there's, of course, a Dolph Ziggler wrestling for a title match. So we have Dolph Ziggler challenging Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. I don't care about this match at all, even though I know they're former tag team champions together, and you know there's a storyline behind it. It's fine, perfectly fine. But you remember what happened last time Dolph Ziggler went for the world title? He challenged Kofi Kingston in a bunch of boring-ass matches and cut some of the worst meme-worthy promos of 2019. So far, it hasn't been bad, the storyline, but I can't imagine this match itself being that good.
How can you say that? You're acting like Dolph Ziggler isn't a good wrestler. I don't understand. Dolph Ziggler's an amazing wrestler.
He hasn't been any good since 2017.
In 2017, he sucked. He absolutely sucked. Oh,
well, actually,
God,
I guess I can only remember as far back as like 2016. I don't really know what he did in 2017. But 2016 was his last specifically memorable great moments, I think.
No, 2017 he was actually cool. 2016, like 2015, 2016, he was pretty annoying. And I was like, just stop. But he's very cool now. He deserves this title shot, and he needs to win. Like, oh my God. I want him to win so badly. And I want to say something about Raw. The whole Dolph Ziggler on the VIP show with MVP, I just thought it was so great. Just the two heels interacting with each other. Oh my God, I just thought that was so perfect. And MVP thanking Dolph, and Dolph said, ah, that's how you do it. Ah, that was so beautiful. Great heel work by the two of them, I just want to say. But honestly, it makes sense for McIntyre to win. You know. But I'm going to have to go with Dolph Ziggler.
Really?
Because I want him to win so badly. I'm saying it right now. Dolph Ziggler is not going to win the title. But I'm picking him to win because I want him to win so badly.
Kind of a, why? I don't understand that. You're going against your better interests?
Yep, I am. I am.
And what else is
it? It's worked for me in the past.
No, it hasn't.
I'm going to do it again. It has.
When?
It sure has.
The last time you picked Dolph Ziggler to win a match, first of all, he lost and embarrassed you at WrestleMania.
No, the only person that really embarrassed me is Darby Allin, all right?
True.
That's the only person.
But that's also the other time. That and then also Hiromu Takahashi was when you picked like a weird, crazy upset, and that didn't happen either. So I feel like this is a bad record you have of picking these matches that clearly are not going to go the way you think they are, and then don't.
So yeah, Dolph Ziggler's going to win.
You're insane. So the weird thing about this is like what you talked about with MVP being involved too. It's like so much of this and so much of Raw recently could have happened segment for segment, word for word, on a Raw in 2010, and it would have been the same thing. So it's interesting that they're going with these specific storylines right now. I don't mind it, but you know I can see how a lot of people would be like they're relying too much on older wrestlers. They're relying too much on people who have passed their prime or their peak of popularity. That's what Dolph Ziggler is. I guess you don't agree, and that's fine, but you can be wrong.
I feel like he's never gotten his real chance to really shine. Like, it's not like he's washed up and can't wrestle. Like, he could still go. He's extremely talented.
Right.
He's getting better every year.
No,
and
not
I think
true.
It's the perfect time for him to be a world champion.
Last time he got a big opportunity, like you're saying, do you remember those Kofi Kingston matches?
Not really.
Yeah, see, exactly. That's the problem. There was a match in Saudi Arabia that they did.
I'm not watching a match in Saudi Arabia.
Well, fine. That's pure prerogative. But they had a match in Saudi Arabia that was... I remember. I think that might have been the steel cage match. There was a steel cage match, basically. And there was also a singles match.
You're contributing the propaganda, Jack.
I agree, but I'll still watch it, to be honest. I'm a hypocrite in that when it comes to that. But they had two matches. They had a singles match. They had a steel cage match. And they were both the most boring and forgettable shit you'll ever see, especially with a big world championship on the line. So it was a weird angle they had. And of course you had Dolph Ziggler going, "It should have been me," the whole time in all those promos. And that
I feel like I should remember that. I don't know why.
You don't remember this?
Where was I last year?
Yeah, where were you, really? This is all anybody was talking about. It was either that or it was the Batista, "Do what I want." Those are the promos.
Oh, man. I don't know. But Dolph Ziggler is not a bad wrestler at all. He's great. And Drew McIntyre is also extremely talented. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good match. And I bet you're just going to sit there. You're probably going to be on Twitter. "Oh, that match is shocked. Oh, he messed up that drop down." You're probably gonna be on Twitter saying that.
Yeah,
aren't
I'm
you?
The type of person who says that. Yeah.
"Oh, that drop kick was too low."
Oh, when have I said anything like that before? Stiff. I only rag on a match when it's boring or when it's fucking people who I think are physically bad wrestlers. I don't complain about the minutia.
No, you're gonna like the match. I'm telling you right now. Look, you're gonna like the match.
You just said I was
just
gonna hate the match.
Enjoy it. Okay. Enjoy it. It's professional wrestling. It's two top professional wrestlers that are in their prime. Right?
Prime, please. Drew
match.
McIntyre, yes. Dolph Ziggler, no.
They're like the same age.
Actually, maybe. I don't know. But in terms of physical prime, Dolph Ziggler is past it by about 5 years.
How?
But
how?
I've explained it already.
Because of his match with Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston sucks. He sucks. Kofi Kingston is the worst wrestler in the world.
Here's the racism again. I honestly can't handle this anymore. This is like, it's getting to the point where I feel like my reputation is being hurt by your
reputation is being hurt by you existing.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. I can't believe the words that you say. I don't know why you don't like Dolph Ziggler. Why? Because he sucks in the ring? How?
Yeah.
How does he suck in the ring? He's much better than Daniel Bryan. I'll tell you that. He's a
again with the Daniel Bryan shit. Bryan. Daniel Bryan is the best, one of the best in the world right now. He just never gets these opportunities.
Nice armbar, bro.
Is an armbar not cool
toss,
now?
Man.
It's the most realistic move in wrestling is an armbar. Yeah, they don't often do it right, but... You're telling me Dolph Ziggler in 2020 is better than Daniel Bryan in 2020?
Yes.
You're insane.
His moveset is way cooler. Daniel Bryan is a good technical wrestler.
Dolph Ziggler moves.
Five Dolph Ziggler moves, okay. Drop kick.
I was going to say, if you fucking say drop kick, that does not count.
How does that not count?
Everybody
as a move?
Does a drop kick.
Everybody, Big Show does a drop kick?
I've seen him do it, yes, against Braun Strowman.
Does Mark Henry do a dropkick?
Yes, I've seen him do it against Big Show.
Mark Henry's never did a dropkick.
He did a dropkick.
His life.
I'm swearing
no
to
way.
You. A dropkick, this is like the fucking old TWF
okay,
episode.
Does the Great Khali do a dropkick?
Huh?
Does the Great Khali do a dropkick?
Well, of course not. He can't do shit.
No! So it's not a move everyone does.
This is an old TWFS episode where they watched the top 10 moves of Gold Dust that somebody assembled on YouTube, and like number 3 or something was turnbuckle punches, when he climbs the turnbuckle and hits him with the 10 punches. And you would probably justify that as a move that's exclusive to a wrestler.
Well, it's exclusive to some wrestlers. Not every wrestler does that move.
But yeah, they do, actually.
Every Just wrestler about. Does an armbar.
Every Not every wrestler
in
does
the
an
world
armbar.
Does a running knee in 2020.
Not every wrestler does an armbar, and
every
wrestler
does a
running
dive.
Knee. Huh? Well, dive is more common.
Every wrestler
but...
does a kick.
I wasn't going to say kick. I was going to say the yes kicks.
The same can be said about Danny Bryan.
Not
it's just
all.
The way you do it. It's the way you deliver it.
But Dolph Ziggler does not deliver anything the way he used to. I think he's a good, talented wrestler. He just doesn't put the effort or the drive in anymore. He did once.
I don't know what... He puts all the drive into it. He's extremely good at what he does. I don't understand. I don't understand what you're saying right now. You're going to see at Extreme Rules horror show that Dolph Ziggler is
an amazing
wrestler.
It will be a horror show. But the other thing about this match, too, is that Dolph Ziggler gets to pick the stipulation, and he's saying it's a mystery. He's not going to announce
Famous
it until the
sir.
Show. It took you a really long time to come up with that. And that's not...
Famous sir. There
but
we go.
Dolph Ziggler gets to pick the stipulation, and you didn't even say zigzag. You didn't even say super kick, which by the
I
way, not
say
his
zigzag.
Move either. You didn't. You said
did.
Drop kick. You said drop
oh
kick,
God.
And you fucking knock your light over in your room.
I said drop kick. I said zigzag.
You didn't say zigzag.
I did. Those are the two moves I said: zigzag and drop kick.
By the way, zigzag is there a worse finisher? I'm glad he doesn't use that as a finisher anymore.
It's not horrible. Is
he literally
there a
just
worse
jumps
finisher?
And puts their head on. He puts their head down with his hand.
Well. I mean,
it's pretty bad.
It's not that. I mean, it's fake. It's wrestling.
You're fake.
I mean, I think there are many worse finishers. I think zigzag is a pretty nice finisher.
There are worse finishers. There are.
It's a finisher that can be done on anyone. Really.
Yeah, that's basically true. That's basically true. Which I do like. But Urkajerk in
nice.
The chat says it's impossible to know if someone's really trying their hardest. Specifically in wrestling, it becomes very frustrating. And that's what I mean about, I think, Dolph Ziggler now. And that's the same thing about Randy Orton until recently, for several years, he had a pattern of not trying very hard in his matches and or his storylines or anything like that. He just kind of was that guy who was just, you know, the veteran or whatever, so he could kind of just wander into a match and it would just be a Randy Orton match, you know.
Yeah, that kind of was Randy Orton. I can agree with that.
Yeah, and I think that's Dolph Ziggler now.
Since like 2010, honestly.
Yeah.
You're just like, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's just, like, don't get me wrong, throughout the 2010s, it had good rivalries and, like, good matches and stuff. But, like, now? What? Oh, my God. He's perfect. He's the perfect wrestler.
Agreed.
He's the greatest professional wrestler in the wrestling world today.
All right, Ric Flair. So what's Dolph Ziggler picking for his stipulation, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, you brought up a point where usually when people pick the stipulation on the day of the pay-per-view, it's like, I'll let down.
Yeah, exactly.
But honestly, I don't really care. Like, I care a lot. Don't get me wrong. I care a lot. Like, I'd be very happy if it was, like, freaking, I don't know, a Hell in a Cell. But they only save those for the pay-per-view Hell in a Cell now.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, if it was something cool like that, I'd be pretty hyped. Maybe a ladder match. Ladder matches are, like, my favorite matches. TLC
that,
matches.
That could be cool.
So that would actually be pretty cool. But if it's a steel cage, I'm going to be disappointed. Because steel cage matches are, they're cool, but I don't know. They don't do it for me.
Right. I wouldn't mind a steel cage compared to what I think is going to happen is it's going to be, he's going to give it one of the many identical pay-per-view stipulations. He's going to call it the street fight, no holds barred, or no disqualification match.
No DQ.
No DQ. It's going to be one of those. And
a chairs match. They're going to have a chairs match.
They totally have a chairs. Or it's going to be a handicap. A handicap would be the worst case scenario. He brings in Heath Slater or some shit. But, I would like to know what Urkajerk in the chat is talking about. Remember when Randy ate the hot dog off the ground during a match? What?
Wait, that
Did
sounds
that
familiar.
Randy Orton ate a hot dog off the ground during a match.
I feel like that sounds familiar. I don't know. That's
hilarious. Why would that sound familiar to you?
I don't know. I feel like I remember like something about a wrestler and a hot dog, but I don't know if it was Randy Orton eating a hot dog off the floor or if it was something else.
I once had a hot dog at a wrestling show that had a thumbtack in it. You remember this?
Did it really?
Yeah, we were at an indie show. We were at VXS in New Jersey.
I was there?
Yeah, you were there. And
I don't remember stuff.
It was you really don't. It was it wasn't actually a full hot dog. It was a hot dog bun. For whatever reason, I remember they had this incredible, for some reason it was like a great match, which you never would expect. It was Cheeseburger and Hot Dog Starks, if you know these names.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
They were against two people I've never heard of before, who were like really weird. Like they were like both old guys, but they seemed like they'd been in wrestling for a long time. Like they seemed like they were like veterans in some way. They acted like it for sure. And they played like these old school heel gimmicks. And I've definitely never heard of them in my life, but they kind of were not great wrestlers, but they somehow had this incredible no DQ tag team match with table spots and fucking brawling in the crowd. And it was insane. And the finish of the match was where they put somebody through a table but they put a bunch of hot dog buns on the table first, which seems like it'd make it hurt a lot less, but it's for the ambiance of the hot dog Starks. And then they threw the hot dog buns into the crowd. And I caught one, but there were thumbtacks on the table too. Somehow the thumbtack got lodged in the hot dog buns. The one that I caught and then actually took a bite out of had a fucking thumbtack in it. I spit out. And
I remember. I remember it now. The hot dogs on the table. That was the coolest thing ever.
It's bizarre. but I do like Shadow Wrestling's idea of a no ropes match between Ziggler and McIntyre. Would be kind of cool.
A blood sport match.
A blood sport match. Chain ropes. No rope barbed wire. Any of these.
Yeah. That'd be sick.
Never happened. But so speaking of matches, speaking of.
Yeah, slap nuts.
Speaking of matches, speaking of stipulations, speaking of pay per views, speaking of championships, Segway King. We have a match that has no stipulation. Even though Extreme Rules used to have every match having a different stipulation. There's quite a few matches on here that don't seem to have one at all. Asuka and Sasha Banks, one-on-one for the Raw Women's title. I'm kind of annoyed about this match that it's taking place at all because it's a SmackDown wrestler against a Raw champion for the title. So it's so obvious Sasha's not going to win. But I do like the idea of them having a match against each other. I remember a match they had a few years ago where I think Sasha landed right on her head on the floor. I don't know if you remember that, but on Raw that happened. And
good times.
Could happen again. And if that's the match, I'm satisfied. But is Asuka winning this, or are they somehow going to shake it up and swerve you?
Well, one thing I wanted to say back to the Ziggler and McIntyre match. We're thinking of all these stipulations. We didn't say the obvious one.
Yeah.
Extreme Rules.
Oh, my God. It's totally going to be that. It's the same thing. That means the same thing as fucking Street Fight, no DQ, no holds barred. They're the same thing. I hate
it. It's totally. They're totally going to have an Extreme Rules match.
100%.
At the Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Yes. Yeah. They have to because they haven't announced any others. So there's always one. That sucks, and that's what's going to happen. But
I didn't even put two and two together.
Yeah. My God. But okay, is Asuka winning or is Sasha winning?
Oh, I would love for Sasha to win because I did not like Bayley as a heel. I did not like her and Bayley. Like I was like annoyed.
Yeah.
But honestly, the more I've been watching SmackDown and such and like Bayley and Sasha have been on commentary, I've been liking them a lot and I think they're amazing. And it'd be pretty cool if they both had the world championship and the tag team titles.
Wouldn't that be sick?
I don't think that's ever been done. Has that?
Not world championship, but Triple H and Stone Cold were the tag team champions, and then Triple H had the IC belt, and Stone Cold had the world title.
Ah, okay.
So there you go.
When was that? I remember that. I'm not up to that yet.
I haven't like watched it, but it was, I think it was 2001. Two-man power trip. Yeah. But,
yeah, that sounds 2001, 2002-ish.
Seems like it. I think it was when Triple H got injured. You know, the match where he tore his quad? Was in defense of those tag titles, but So you're gonna go Asuka? You say you'd like to see Sasha win, but
like, dude, I could make another risky pick.
You could.
But I'm gonna go with Sasha Banks and winning this.
Really? Oh, okay.
I'm going
wow.
with Sasha Banks winning this.
Oh my God, this is gonna be a really interesting pay per view.
Yeah.
And if you get all these risky picks wrong, I could become the new Mr. Predictions by next week. But if you get them all right, I'm fucking screwed.
But you got to remember who I am. I am Mr. Predictions.
So far, you have been. This may be the last time you get to say that as your title.
I'm what? 18 weeks strong. I am 18 weeks strong. I don't know how many days that is. That's a lot of days.
It is a lot of days. So we have another women's title match. Bayley defending against Nikki Cross for the SmackDown title. And for me, this feels like it can kind of only go one way. And that's Bayley.
Yeah?
Are you picking another risky fucking...
No, I got Bayley.
Because if Sasha wins, then Bayley can't lose. And I don't think they'd both lose either. But...
No way.
They're definitely, I mean, it's moving in slow motion. I don't know if they're going to do it until the fans are back in attendance or whatever, but Bayley and Sasha are definitely going to split at some point. There's definitely going to be some sort of feud between them.
I hope they have the matches that they had in NXT.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring that back.
They got to. But I don't know if that would be a Bayley face turn or if it would be a Sasha Sasha face turn or what would happen, but I'd be interested in what they would do with it. I just wish it would happen already. And in the meantime, it's like Bayley's just basically beating everybody one by one. So she hasn't beaten Nikki Cross in a singles match, so it has to happen, I guess. She'll probably fight Alexa Bliss next and whatever.
How do you think it would happen, though? Because let's say Sasha and Bayley have the tag titles and the world titles. It's like, what would they be jealous over?
I don't think Unless Sasha's going to win like you do.
Wait, what'd you say?
I don't think Sasha's going to win like you do.
No, she is. She is. Don't worry. But, like, what would they... Maybe one person loses the title and then... Like, Sasha loses the title and then Bayley's like... No, Sasha loses the title and Sasha's like, I want that title, Bayley.
Right,
maybe something like that. I don't know. I really have no clue.
I feel like what might happen is Bayley accidentally costs Sasha this match against Asuka. And... Because Bayley's got to be the one with the title so that Sasha can chase, you know? That's the only way I feel like it goes. And they have the tag titles, and I mean, they could lose those in any match at any point. Whenever they end up starting to feud, that's when that'll happen.
They're the best.
I like them right now. I do. Yeah. Finally.
Hey, what do you think of Bianca Belair debuting? I think Bianca Belair should be the face of the women's division.
She should.
Oh my God, she's the best. The EST. That's the cool. Yeah. I wish I thought of that.
Yeah, right?
That's
it's
the coolest
good.
Thing ever.
So Bianca Belair returned and Shayna Baszler returned on the same episode of Raw, right? So
That was crazy.
Finally, the women's division. So, and Ruby Riot's like a good guy now for some reason, but at least
she annoys me.
I don't like her, but it makes it interesting. It keeps it interesting because there's enough people in the division that it's like, you know, because she does have good matches sometimes. So I can respect it.
Ruby Riot, I respect her because she used to do death matches and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, her character is just annoying. Like, the Iconics are just so cool, and they should be... They're definitely the next tag champions. They gotta be, I would think.
But I feel like the SmackDown Women's Division is so boring. The NXT one's pretty cool, but the Raw one is definitely the best of the three, I think.
Yeah, the Raw one is the best. Dude, let's talk about the karaoke. Who do you think did the best?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? I bet you fucking loved that segment, didn't you?
Oh, I did. It was so...
You fucker.
So great.
How... What are your... You're being sarcastic though, right?
It was amazing. It was very entertaining. I was entertained.
I would like to hear your legitimate, real perspective because I cannot believe how you would like... Because you have the weirdest wrestling opinions. We know this. And you tend to defend things that nobody else will touch. So, did you actually like this segment? Four people who can't sing trying to sing?
Can't?
None of them. None of them could sing. I'm sorry.
Okay. Lacey Evans, so when Lacey Evans was backstage, she was doing the warm-ups. She sounded amazing. I was like, what? And then I thought she was going to do better, but she did do good. She did good. Lacey Evans did good.
You just have a bunch of Lacey.
Dana Brooke was like, that was just hilarious.
So bad.
Tamina was just like offbeat and just very, very odd, but it was pretty funny.
Anything different.
And then... Naomi killed it. Naomi killed it. She was dancing in heels and doing a bunch of stuff in heels. And I thought she did pretty good. It was pretty funny. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it. It was a nice break from the wrestling, I'd say.
Of course, you want a break from the wrestling.
It was a funny little segment.
I don't understand. I don't get it. I
was looking forward to it. Moment they announced it, I was like, yo, what?
Oh, you were excited. Yeah, you were excited to go back to the Divas division of 2010.
I love that.
Karaoke segment with a bunch of fucking people who not only are not talented on the mic, but not talented in the ring either.
Lacey Evans is extremely talented in the ring.
She's
the best one in that ring.
And actually, Erica Church makes a good point. I think Lacey Evans is really good on the mic and really committed to her character. So I like that. I do like the idea, like the way she performs. But I don't think she can actually physically wrestle very well.
How?
And I think the same thing
what
about
makes
Naomi.
You say that? I don't understand. We're watching two different matches.
Apparently. I mean, name a good Lacey Evans match, please.
I can't name a good Lacey. I don't know. She's just had good matches.
No, she hasn't. Never.
Yes, she has.
She had a series of bad matches with Becky Lynch. Somehow. She had a series of bad matches with Bayley. And those are the only ones I can really remember. Series of bad matches with Natalya. So.
Well, Natalya, I mean.
I know. It's easy to have a bad match with her.
You want to talk past the prime.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. But. Becky Lynch got a good match out of Natalya.
That's true. No, Natalya was cool when, like. Remember she, like, kind of reinvented herself and had, like, the whip?
Oh, with the farting gimmick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when she was coolest, probably. I don't know what you're talking about with the whip. Is that a Heart Dynasty?
No, it was she had a whip. I don't know. It's a couple of years ago. But she was like, she became a little more badass, and it was like, oh, she's actually kind of cool.
Right.
Like, she's a good wrestler, but I don't know. I feel like I've seen her on my TV since like 2008, bro.
Yeah.
So it's just like, all right.
I'm over it.
I'm over it.
So the next match here is a match that they actually haven't announced officially. But I think that they 100% are going to probably this week on SmackDown. I just put it on the list because I'm very confident it'll happen based on what happened on last week's SmackDown, where New Day and Shinsuke and Cesaro fought to a no contest, and somebody ended up going through a table. I don't know what happened, but basically it's very obvious that what's going to happen is a rematch in Extreme Rules, and it'll probably be a tables match, right, because somebody went through a table. So I'll just say that match is probably going to happen. So who are you picking?
You're talking about New Day and Cesaro and Nakamura?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about.
I don't know, bro. I don't know. That's hard, but I just want to say tables matches are extremely fun because it's like tables matches are like, oh. Right. Like, you're like, oh my God, is he going to go through it?
They can be, but they can also be kind of boring because there's only one guaranteed table that's going to break in the match.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get, a whole bunch of table spots.
But the way they reverse it, it's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, shit. Like, it's pretty cool.
We had a great match in 2K, a tables match where we put tables all around the edge of the ring and kept trying to put each other through them, and somehow we would just always miss the table. So it is fun. But I assume it's going to be a tables match.
Putting a tables match in universe mode and simulating it? Yeah. Dude, that's fun. It's like, oh, whoa, is he going to do it? And then he jumps off the top rope and he rolls off.
Yeah.
And then, oh, my God, it's crazy. It's great. I don't know. I don't want to say another title change.
Right.
But it's hard. Yeah, who do you have? You tough. Go.
Well, first of all, I just want to say Erka Jerk in the chat says, fuck Natalya, she breeds those flat-faced cats for profit. So,
yeah, so that's
never
hilarious.
Heard truer words be spoken. You know, I think the safe pick would be New Day because they keep retaining, but I feel who's gonna beat them for the tag titles if it's not Nakamura and Cesaro?
I know who.
Who?
Undisputed Era.
Undisputed Era. Oh yeah, they probably are getting called up, aren't they?
Yeah, because our boy lost his title. Walking Adam Cole lost his title.
Yeah, that's probably.
I'm mad
that's
I didn't
a good
see
point.
It live.
You're happy you didn't see it live?
No,
what do you mean?
I didn't. I got it spoiled for me.
Yeah,
who
me
told
too.
Me? Oh yeah, Pat told me.
Oh, fuck him.
Yeah.
I think you know what. I like the idea of Undisputed Era coming up and beating New Day, but.
You want them on Raw?
No, I think they probably would go to SmackDown because they should fight New Day. I think that would be the best matchup for them. Since they can't fight like Revival or anybody anymore. There aren't that many tag teams in general in WWE anymore. A lot of them have broken up or left.
Yeah, who do we have? We have the Street Profits, who are great. I love the Street Profits. Who else? Viking Raiders. Who else?
And then on SmackDown, you have New Day, Lucha House Party. You have
Lucha.
Forgotten Sons, who are apparently blackballed. You've got...
What happened to them?
Well, Jackson Riker is a Trump supporter, so they just took him off TV.
Isn't McMahon a Trump supporter?
Yeah, but nobody else in the locker room is. So.
I thought Dolph Ziggler voted for Trump. I could have sworn I saw that.
Really?
Like, when the elections happened, I could have sworn I saw Dolph Ziggler voted. John Cena voted for Trump. It could have been all
that
fake
John
stuff.
Cena definitely didn't.
Hey, you never know.
I guess. I don't know. He's a big Obama guy, though.
Yeah.
But I you know what? I'm just gonna say, for the hell of it, I'm gonna say Shinsuke and Cesaro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it could happen, and Shinsuke's never been tag champion. It'd be interesting. This specific group has only ever held the IC belt. You know, the whole, like, they lose like constantly. This group with them and Sami Zayn.
They
rarely ever get these big wins. So I don't know.
It's hard for me because I already have two risky picks.
Yeah.
So it's like to go for a third.
Well, also, you're not a big fan of black people, so I think it would be pretty
easy. Not true.
For you to pick the white guy.
That's not true. I don't know. Because I would love for New Day, like exactly what I said, for New Day to retain and they fight Undisputed Era.
I would love that.
But Nakamura and Cesaro could win.
Yeah.
Because they have been on a roll, and it'll almost be like everything that they've been doing would have been for nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God. Oh.
Well, I don't need to hear those noises, to be totally honest.
God.
I don't.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Rip my flesh.
So, who are you picking in this tables match that is not even confirmed to happen? You got to pick somebody.
It's not even confirmed to happen. I'm gonna go a New Day. I am not a pedophile.
Okay, New Day.
I'm going New Day.
New Day.
I want it. I'm gonna go a New Day. I'm gonna go a New Day. I'm gonna go a New Day. My gut.
Took you long enough to pick a match that's not even happening.
Big match.
The next match, I think we might disagree on this too. I don't know. It's an interesting U.S. title match that's happening. Apollo Crews defending against MVP. MVP considers himself the rightful champion, which I hate when they do that, when the other guy's carrying a title around and shit. But it's interesting. I thought they would go with Apollo Crews versus Lashley because, you know, Lashley's definitely the bigger threat of the two. Yeah. But I guess MVP's okay, fine. I could see this going either way.
One's hard. That one's really hard.
Yeah. First of all, what do you think of the new U.S. title?
I hate it.
Yeah,
I don't
too.
Know why they would change it.
Exactly.
Dude, it was the United States title was like the last title from like a good generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like from a good era, and now like it's all gone.
It really it's a garbage looking design too. It's I saw somebody on Instagram compare it to like the it looks like the MLB logo, like the Major League Baseball. I don't know if it's their actual logo or the World Series logo. I can't remember, but it's like the exact font and like the shape of it is just, it's just like, it's like they took the U.S. title and just literally like took a hammer to it. It looks atrocious. And since they did the same thing with fucking ruining the Intercontinental title, they have to like go with these worse designs because they need to make it look like newer. You know, they need to change it up. It's sickening. It's sickening. Can I say that? Hate it.
Dude, I hate it so much. Like the newer Intercontinental title, like it's a nice title, but fuck that title, bro. That title sucks.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if it was up to me, I would have our old US title. I'd have that. I'd have the Intercontinental title that was from, I think, like 98 to 2010.
Oh, I don't like that one, actually.
That oval one? I love that one. I don't know why. Honestly, that might be one of my favorite belts.
Really?
Like, I don't know why I love that one so much.
It looks too small to me. It looks like a toy.
Yeah.
I like the Cody Rhodes belt. That's the one I like. Know.
You like the TNT?
No. The Cody Rhodes Intercontinental title. The white strap.
Oh. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I pick that one. And honestly, I think I just pick the... Our beloved world heavyweight title, the WCW one, and then the spinner title probably.
Oh, the spinner, really? I
think I would, or the big the Attitude Era one.
right, of course, yeah. I like the current WWE title, though. I think it's a cool design.
Yeah, but, the black one, the WWE title, I love that. That one's actually really cool. But, dude, they try to make every other title, like, kind of like that.
Exactly.
And I hate that. Like, the same side plates and all that, like, come on. The woman's title should be different.
Mm-hmm.
Should be different. The old woman's title, I like that title.
I don't like that one. Looking back on it, like, I think it looked fine, perfectly fine at the time. But looking back on it, it literally is just a yellow oval that says women's championship, like women's in big letters championship. It's not a particularly unique design.
I think I just like the oval design. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of it, the women's and that old IC title are both ovalish.
Same era too, yeah. It's bizarre. Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, we have Apollo Crews and MVP US title. Who's taking it?
That one's really hard.
Yeah.
That one's really hard.
Yeah.
What I would really like, is for, like, what's his name to win? MVP to win, and then Dolph Ziggler to win, and then they both go on the VIP lounge, and then they're like, we won. And then freaking Dolph Ziggler brings back the spinner title like he said he was going to do.
Did he say that? That's another
reason I want Dolph Ziggler to win.
Well, you said that?
I have my hopes up. Yeah, he was like, maybe I'll bring back the maybe I'll change the design, because he was talking about the US title, how MVP changed it.
Right.
He was like, oh yeah, I'll change the design. Bring back the spinner, make it old school. I was like, what?
Oh my god! Now I kind of want Ziggler to win.
Right?
Shit. That's like I said, that's like one of the only WWE titles I like the design of still, the current WWE title, but still it would be cool to have like an old logo, an old style to it, whether it's that or whether it's the really old Attitude Era type thing, or the Winged Eagle or something. I feel
like, which one,
like
the Bret Hart belt or the Rock belt?
Either or.
Yeah.
They're almost the same, but
yeah, they kind of, it's just a bigger globe. I think it's a bigger belt. Dude, that Attitude Era belt is like, that's a belt. Like, that's a big freaking, like, bigger than my face belt. Like,
it's a championship.
It's a title?
It's not a belt.
Oops, my bad.
You don't wear it around your waist, so.
Oh yeah. You wear it on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Would wear you it wear around a belt your neck.
On your shoulder? You could.
No, you wear it out of your pants, hanging from the front of your pants, like Eminem.
Or hanging out of your mouth like Pete Dunne.
Oh, but, yeah, there we go.
I'm going with MVP. Controversial? Yeah. I'm going with it.
I'm going with MVP too, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, then honestly, I'm going with Cruz. I'd like to differ on this one because I could see it go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Cruz if you go MVP.
I'm going with Cruz.
You're going with Cruz?
No. Hold on. Okay, No, I'm gonna go with MVP. I'm gonna go with MVP. Bobby Lashley interferes, or maybe Bobby Lashley interferes, and then Richard comes, and then he like stops the interference. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That could happen.
I don't know. MVP. So many controversial picks in this episode for me.
It really.
Let's see.
Yeah. Go back to episode 6 to find out my controversial picks from the time that was the title of the episode. This one might have to be the same thing. We have two more matches to pick. We have some unique stipulations here. Because first we have the Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Wyatt Swamp fight. Which basically is just, what, like a Final Deletion bullshit?
Again? I hope.
It's going to be the boneyard in a swamp.
Dude, remember they did that?
Yeah.
The Final Deletion was going on, and it was the coolest thing in the world. They were first to do that. And then the Wyatt family and like New Day wanted to get on that hype. They wanted to jump on that bandwagon, and it sucked.
It really did suck.
It absolutely sucked.
And nobody remembers that now. Pretend that didn't happen.
I remember it because it was very petty, like how
Great American Bash
was the same time as Fighter Fest. Like, come on. I mean, okay, the Wyatt family thing wasn't that bad, but like, dude, compared to the Hardy compound, compared to all of that.
It was, nowhere near. But this is also, the weird thing is it's a non-title match. So, I don't know. I feel like for me, that makes it seem like it's just an easy win for Bray.
It's a non-title match.
Yeah. I don't know why.
It could be easy. Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's his home turf.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
The coolest part, too, is the fact that he's going to be old school Bray. He's coming out as his classic swamp Swamp guy? What was the gimmick? Swamp guy?
Swampman.
Swampman? That old guy with the fedora and with the rocking chair. He's that whole deal, which I love. But there's one way
Sister
I
Abigail.
Could see this. Sister Abigail. He never actually wrestled with Sister Abigail. He was going to wrestle in drag, and what happened?
He was?
Yeah, you remember that?
Wait, when?
Did this happen, or did we all just make this up? Was this a fever dream? Because I swear there was supposed to be a match between Finn Balor as the demon against Bray Wyatt as Sister Abigail. Like the actual Sister Abigail manifesting itself inside of his body. And
what?
They had a match. There's a match graphic where it shows Bray Wyatt with a wedding dress on. It's fucking...
Really? Someone confirm this, please.
It's real. I swear it's real. And then I think Bray got mono or something. It's like
he got mono.
Yeah. Oh, he got the mumps. That's what it was. Remember him and Roman both got sick?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The mumps. Remember Roman got like busted for drugs?
I totally forgot about that. He got demoted from the WWE title to the US title. That's pretty funny.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a. Do you remember what drugs it was? Like, what if it was something like cancer related and like they didn't
it was,
say?
Or... It was Adderall.
That's what it was?
Yeah, it was Adderall.
Never mind.
Well, it was illegal Adderall. He didn't get a prescription, but it still.
What is he doing? What is he doing? What's wrong with him? It's not 1982.
Also, does he actually need the focus? Because he doesn't seem to use it.
Yeah.
But Urka
just,
Jerk.
He doesn't need the focus. I mean, he's just automatically in the title picture.
Even with, I'm assuming, the Adderall, he'd still end up in a match that's full of just rest holds. So,
yeah.
Urka Jerk in the chat says, I thought WWE doesn't let wrestlers win in their hometown.
True.
Talking about Bray Wyatt with the swamp, which is very accurate. But in this case.
This is his home turf.
Yeah.
This is the
yeah.
turf we're talking about.
It's his home. It's different than a town.
Yeah.
Are you going Bray? I'm going Bray.
I'm going Bray.
Yeah.
But dude, home turf, non-title match, Bray. Come on.
It has to be, right? Yeah. The only other thing I could see happening would be Braun winning here and then Bray having to bring out the Fiend because Braun beat him as Firefly Funhouse guy. He beat him as Swamp guy. So now the Fiend is the only thing that can beat him. And then Bray would kind of have to win there, right? But I think it's just more likely that Braun just doesn't lose his title. He can lose, but you know, not lose the title because it's non-title. And then just goes on to lose probably the title to Roman. The last match that should be the main event probably isn't. Eye for an eye, Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio. I don't know how to explain this one. It's
so good.
So it's like. Basically, word for word, what they said on TV is the loser is the guy who gets his actual eyeball pulled out of his actual socket.
Yep.
So I guess I'm assuming that this is a instance where they're going to be using CGI or some shit. And
dude.
Or is this going to be like, is it going to be a death match where they legitimately have to win by pulling the other guy's eye out? Like Onita getting stabbed in the gut.
Yeah. And gets thrown into the pool and poof.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude, like, I haven't felt like this in so long where, like, I really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. This is insanity.
It's
and it's
so
like,
weird.
If it was like the loser's eye has to get punctured and it's like, okay, maybe Seth or Ray could do what Seth did to him and put his eye in the thing. But no. Your eye has to be removed from your skull.
Yeah.
So is the winner, do you win when the eye is out and hanging, or do you have to take the eye out and cut the little, like, whatever that is that's connecting your eye to your brain or whatever? I wonder.
It's so fucking weird. And also, okay, I have so many things to say about this because, okay, first of all, why the fuck? Rey Mysterio is a guy who's always been the ultra babyface, right? He's always been a good guy, except for when he had his mask off. But he's always been the good guy. He's always been the guy who's like, you know, hugs the kids on the way to the ring and stuff. And he's always been this happy-go-lucky guy. And he's also got his son next to him who grew up watching him. And he's standing in the ring with his son who used to be, you know, a child watching his dad on TV. And he stands there and says, I want to defeat you in a match and then rip your eye out of your fucking skull. So what happened? Did Rey Mysterio just get like broken when Seth jammed him into the steps? Like, is he actually like insane now? Because why would he ever want to actually physically pull Seth Rollins' eye out? That just doesn't make sense.
Everyone is just being broken nowadays. Everyone's just losing it. Everyone's going mad. Freaking Seth Rollins is like insane.
Yeah.
Now like Rey Mysterio, I don't know what happened. Maybe he ate something that Seth ate. Maybe it's something in catering. Maybe it's something in the air. I don't know, dude. Everyone's just going mad. Kevin Scampoli's gone mad too.
He's gone.
This is beyond the wrestling ring. Oh my god, it's insanity, but I'm liking it a lot. I do not know what to expect. And I just want to say, Eye for an Eye sounds really familiar. I feel like I've heard that before.
So
but
that's all right. Besides the point. All right. Look, the thing about the AEW Eye for an Eye match is that that was just a gimmick name for like, because Moxley and Santana had both poked each other in the eye, you know? So it's like, oh, eye for an eye, because these guys both hate each other and they have an eye gimmick going on. This is real. They never said they were going to take each other's eyes out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like this better.
Same. This is kind of cooler. Yeah. Irka jerk in the chat. Optic
nerve. Optic nerve, that's the
word
you're looking
for. That's what I was looking for. But yeah, dude, this is insane. I don't know what to expect. Maybe it's a cinematic match and then it's like, I don't know. What if Seth Rollins his whole life, he's had a glass eye, right?
Right.
And we didn't know. He's never told anyone. And he's never told anyone because he's always thought of this exact storyline. And his eye comes out.
But it's not his real eye.
Because he's had a glass eye this whole time. They put fake blood and stuff and a fake optic nerve.
It'd be like, it could be like The Rock and Mankind in the I Quit match where they had the recording saying I quit. So instead of that, you
they
have
had
like,
that?
Yeah, you don't remember this match? Yeah, there was an I Quit match and I think it was Foley who said I quit. And so Rock won, but then they revealed that it was actually a recording that The Rock had planted.
Really? Oh my God, that's so smart.
Yeah, no, I like it, but it's they could do that here. Where it's like Ray rips out the eye, but then they reveal the next night, oh, that was his glass eye. He put it on top of his real eye. So Ray ripped out a fake eye. He just put it on top. He glued it on. And it's a googly eye. He rips off a googly eye, waves it around. He's like, I got it. He's just too stupid to realize it's a googly eye. And
oh my God.
Seth just walks away like, hell yeah.
I don't know. I'm pretty much speechless.
Yeah.
The goal of the winner of the only way to win the match is to rip your opponent's eye out of their head. Never heard of this before.
Never heard of it. It's so bizarre. The other thing is, this is a kids show, right? This is a show targeted to kids.
I don't know. I feel like since around late 2019, definitely 2020, it's been less kiddish.
Less, yeah, but it's
like
still...
They've said stuff, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, they say shit
I really
now.
Pop for it. Yeah.
But it's still PG, and you can't have a guy's eye getting ripped out with blood splattering everywhere and call it
well,
PG.
Well, I mean, they had the thing with Rey Mysterio in his eye.
But you couldn't see his eye.
Think about a six-year-old watching that. That's, like, traumatizing.
Right. Yeah, true.
You know?
Yeah, but this is so much worse. Like, they're also advertising it ahead of time. They're like, somebody's eye is going to be removed.
That's true.
How can they get away with that?
It's amazing. I'm loving it.
Irka jerk in the chat. I wonder if their third eye counts. Good point. Or the eye of their penis. Because that would be even more brutal than the
that would
proposed.
Be brutal.
Yeah. But when it comes down to it, who's winning this match? Who walks away with both of their eyes?
I want to say Rey Mysterio, you know? Because it makes sense.
Right.
But dude, what if it's like, I don't know, Rey Mysterio starts like, because, you know, he's like a Christian or Catholic or whatever, right?
Yeah.
What if he like, I don't know, some during the match, like he goes on the top rope and like prays to God or just something like that. And then like, I don't know, something happens. And then Seth Rollins is like, oh, convert to me or some shit. And then freaking Rey Mysterio joins Seth Rollins' cult. and then the eye never comes off.
Or that exact thing happens, but he voluntarily removes his own eye and gives it to Seth, like when like when CM Punk would shave people's heads.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I'm with you now. Removes his eye. And then the big twist, it was a googly eye the whole time, just like I said.
Yeah, so, it was a fake eye.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So I think I think Rey Mysterio is gonna win the eye for a googly eye match. That's just my idea.
Same. It just makes sense.
Yeah. But and also because Seth would look pretty cool with an eye patch.
Yeah, he would. Arg matey.
He should go with full pirate gimmick. He should just go Paul Burchell.
Oh yeah, that's what people were saying online. They put like his face on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice. That's great. So but is Mysterio your pick though?
Dude, I think Mysterio is my pick.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
So then we agree on that one. We don't agree on, I mean, it's impossible to agree on what will happen in that match exactly, because nobody can fucking know. But
I don't know, dude.
When it comes down to it, we agree on, let's see, there's 7 matches on this card right now, and we agree on 4. We agree on 3 of them. We disagree on 4. So I picked McIntyre, you picked Ziggler. I picked Asuka, you picked Sasha. I picked Shinsuke and Cesaro, you picked New Day. And I picked Apollo Crews, and you picked MVP. So any of those matches could get us points. If I win all 4 of those, we will be tied.
Yeah, we'll be tied, game. Yeah. You still can't win.
If you win, though, any of them, then besides the ones we agree on, it'll be significantly harder for me to pull ahead and become Mr. Predictions. But
that's true.
At the moment, you are Mr. Predictions, and this has been...
Mr. Predictions.
Now we're talking about Rey Mysterio. We talk about his eye possibly being removed from his head.
Yeah.
We also have to talk about Rey Mysterio as a wrestler, because I didn't know this, but apparently Rey Mysterio sucks. Did you know this?
I didn't know that. That's news to me.
Well, according to Dan the Man 077 on WrestlingForum.com, Rey Mysterio's 619 finisher is actually the worst one.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it?
Because apparently
what's
WWE...
What's bad about it?
Well, WWE apparently uploaded a top 10 video of like the best 619s, which, by the way, aren't they always the same? I don't know how you can have 10 best 619s, but sure.
Well, sometimes he does it and he's like, ugh, and then he springboards into a hurricanrana. And but then other times it's like, yeah, splash.
But that's not the 619. That's the combo. The actual kick is a 619.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, chat? I don't know. I feel like that is the 619. It's like 6 is the hurricanrana into the ropes. The 1 is the is the kick to the face. And then the 9 is the hurricanrana or the splash. Also, what is a West Coast pop?
That's what I was about to say. The West Coast pop is the splash.
That's the splash?
Yeah, he calls it that.
What?
Well, I think actually it might not be the splash. It's the flying dick one, you know, where he comes off the springboard and then hits him, just basically sits on his face.
That's what the West Coast pop is?
Yeah.
Dude, for years I've always heard that, and I never knew what it was. To this day, I never knew what a West Coast pop was. Huh.
And I think if we're making a top 10 list of the best 619s, I agree with what Erga Jerk has to say in the chat. The best of the 619s was the one where he killed Perro Aguayo.
Oh, God.
But that's...
He's a murderer.
That's number 1, though. I mean, clearly there's got to be another 9 in there, different, you know, ranked differently. But number 1, definitely the murder. And Dan the Man, though, this guy thinks that all 619s are bad. I was going to go with an ACAB joke there, but it doesn't really work, does it? A619AB. And he says that watching a midget wrestle people 3 times his size is one thing, but this finisher is so fucking cringe that it makes his a lot of matches unwatchable. Okay, I get really? That you need to suspend disbelief to some degree when it comes to wrestling, but the 619 just goes way beyond that limit.
The 619 killed a man. I don't understand.
It's real, yeah.
Yeah.
It literally killed a man. Seeing his opponents always fall perfectly between the ropes like that is so fucking embarrassing to watch. and in no real-life situation would Ray's pathetic kick cause any actual damage. So, I mean, most people in the thread here disagree with him and say, you know, wrestling's fake, it doesn't actually matter. But, yeah, first of all, this move did kill a guy, so it's pretty real. And second of all, you ever see that episode of Heroes where the little kid sees 619 on TV and goes, oh, I can do that, and then uses it, like, to stop a bank robbery?
Dude, I gotta watch that show again. It's been years, and now I want to watch it again. Heroes, I have it on DVD.
Me too.
Oh my god.
Heroes season That's two great. Is kind of the jam.
Oh man, what a good show. See, the reason, like, Heroes had a big influence on me, because to this day, I say the best power is the power to stop time.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I like Isaac's power, though. I like the predicting the future deal.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, but that would mess you up. You could go crazy with that.
Right.
Like, you start predicting every little thing, and then it's like, wait, I did this wrong. Oh, no, let me predict again. Oh, okay, right, I got to do this. I feel like I'd go mad if I knew how to predict the future. Yeah, but it'd be nice to know lotto numbers.
He could only do it when he was shooting up, too, which was definitely an obstacle. But Rey Mysterio's 619 is a real move. It's been used in Heroes. It's been used in real life in murder. But the people in this thread here, I mean, most of them disagree with him, but a lot of people bring up other moves that are unrealistic. So
okay, let's hear it.
We've got the Cobra, Santino's move. We have the Cobra.
Hold on. How do you do this thing? You go...
Oh no, you're doing it all wrong, man.
Cobra.
It's like this.
No, you're right. You got it on one try. It took me like three. You got the Cobra. You got Irish whips, which is always one people bring up, and you have the rear view, Naomi's finisher. First of all, the rear view
probably hurts.
Yeah, the rear view also would happen too. You could do that in theory. It probably wouldn't happen, but you could do it.
You can do it, and they could hit their head on the concrete and die.
Yeah, yeah, or your ass.
Especially with a big ass.
Right. So that one's real, I think. But
yeah, that one's real.
What do you think about like the Cobra? Is that a realistic move?
If you use it as an eye poke, as an illegal move.
Right. Yeah. Or hit like a nerve.
Yeah.
Hit him in the throat.
That's true.
Cobra definitely a good move.
That's definitely a move.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. But an Irish whip, is that real?
I don't know. I feel like if you do that, if you're really strong, right, and then you do that to someone that's really weak, maybe it could work. Because it's like, think about it. Like, you could pull them, and then they're either going to, like, stumble and fall, or to stop that from happening, they run. But they probably won't run far as, like, you know, wrestling. But I think it's a real move.
I've used it before, to be totally honest. I've used it in fights before. Not that I've been in a lot of fights, but I've had, you know... sort of impromptu, sort of shoving matches, and I've used an Irish whip, and it works.
Explain how to break it down.
Two specific versions that I've done. One of them didn't really work that well, but it at least got this kid away from me, right? So the kid was like, whatever, in my face. There's this one kid in my high school who would always try to start fights, but he couldn't finish him. You know, it was that sort of thing. So basically, what you would do is just grab the arm like an Irish whip and just kind of give him like a short arm Irish whip, just kind of like pull him like that.
Yeah,
and you basically switch places with him. So you can pull him to a different location, and then if you need to like sidestep the guy, that's a good move to do. The other way to do it is into a wall. That always works.
That's true.
So like the gym walls at my old high school were this hard marble that could fuck you up if you went into them. So
yeah.
Man. I think an Irish whip is pretty legit.
Those walls hurt, man. I mean, honestly, those walls hurt. But yeah, I think it could work. I think you gave a perfect example. And yeah, that quick, like that quick jerk, that's like, oh, yeah, that could work.
It's definitely a thing. I mean, people have definitely tried to use this against like muggers before, and it's worked. So
yeah, totally.
The only one I will say is definitely unrealistic is the one where you take their legs, and you just basically drop on your back, and they go over and they hit the turnbuckle. You know what I'm talking about?
Take their legs. Wait, are you facing them? It's like you're facing your opponent.
Drop them like a sharpshooter.
And they're facing you.
And then snap
back.
You drop them like a sharpshooter, and then you snap back into
pulling them up. It's got a name.
Are you talking about when you have their legs here and then you go back and then they go forward flying?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that slingshot thing.
Slingshot.
It's
not a real move.
Possibly. If you do it with enough momentum and you're like, I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. It has to be. I think if you have something under you, like something that'll really make them bounce, it could work.
It could.
But
it could.
It's hard to say. But then again, who cares?
It's fake.
It's wrestling, man. The only people that care if stuff look real or not are wrestling fans. Because, like, a lot of people just care because they're like, oh, these people will watch it who don't watch wrestling say it's fake. But it's like, dude, the people that don't watch wrestling don't care about wrestling at all. We're the ones that care, so it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's wrestling. It's fun. We're here to have a good time. And Jack, I'm going to win the predictions for Extreme Rules Horror Show.
All right, well, I agree with part of what you just said. Definitely not the last part, though. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm Ajax. I'm Mr. Clean. I'm Corona Guy. I'm the man of 1,000 strongly worded wrestling opinions. I'm Sex Pac. I'm Googly Eye. I'm 619. And most importantly, I'm joined every week by the man across the internet.
I'm Phil X. I'm Prince Havoc. I'm Too Sweet. I'm Mr. Predictions. I'm amazing. I'm going to win. I'm on an 18-episode streak. That's a lot of freaking days as a Mr. Predictions. And it's just going to keep going and going and going till I die.
We are the Alternative Wrestling Podcast. Keep listening.
Don't be a rat bastard.